by Gerrard. Here's Rooney. Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season. Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello, hello. Welcome to FPL 360. Sean and I are here with a Game Week 13 review.
Yeah, I figured we would mix things up since we've been pretty inconsistent with our podcasts. But enough happened this weekend where having a quick discussion before doing our episode later this week previewing the upcoming round was needed. I guess before we get into that, though, just because how we saw the table shift, are you changing who you think's going to get relegated?
A little bit. But most of it's not necessarily due to the table shifting. A lot of it's due to the fact that the club in 20th, Fulham, will not stay there.
Yeah, I mean, they finally got a W. The new manager bump is in full swing. I've kind of shifted around who I think is going down. The team I think is toast is Southampton.
We can both agree on that.
And then I would say most likely probably Cardiff. And then the third club I have is actually Crystal Palace.
Okay. So we agree on one team. That's exactly what I was hoping to hear. Because I have Southampton along with Huddersfield. And honestly, after what I saw today, I can't see Burnley saving themselves.
Yeah, I think Sean Dyche will figure it out. I'm not sure how, but they've been so bad compared to how good they've been under him. I think this is just a rut. I mean, you have Chris Wood back in the lineup. Today was a weird match. Newcastle is someone I thought was definitely going down, but they're safe. I mean, they've won three in a row, and they're unbeaten in four now. And Huddersfield Town, they're also unbeaten in three. They just need to find some goals. I think their record does not accurately reflect the talent of that squad, especially with getting Kongolo back.
I mean, they were kind of helped by facing a reeling Wolves squad and the excellence of Aaron Moy. Like, everything else I saw from Huddersfield in that game was still pretty awful.
I mean, we might as well just start with that match then. That was probably the upset of the round for me. I know Wolves has not been great lately. Aaron Moy scored two excellent goals. First one's first time finish from Eric Durm. And then he had that free kick. Moy was actually the number two midfielder this week with 28.5 points.
I mean, that doesn't particularly surprise me just due to the fact that on his day, Moy is one of the better midfielders in the Premier League. This more confirmed my concerns with the Wolverhampton defense than anything.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with them. Those clean sheets have just dried up. I don't think they're going to finish any worse than 15th, but do you think this is a real cause for concern with them at the moment?
100%. I'm leaning towards transferring Doherty out of my FPL squad. He's still useful in draft leagues, but he's not getting it done.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you look at his production during his hot streak, it was because he was able to throw the clean sheets in there, and that kind of helped him. So I think he put up approximately 47 points during a four-game week span. Just sticking with defenders, as I said, Eric Durm got the assist. He's been averaging more than three crosses per match. Obviously, assists have not been there because Huddersfield Town has not been able to score. In Fantrax leagues, he's only owned in 2% of leagues. So if you're in a highly competitive league and you need a defender, is he someone you'd be interested in since you most likely won't have to use a waiver claim and you could probably wait till they go through this week?
Sort of, but I still don't really trust Huddersfield defenders. Let's see who they've got. Oh, especially not with this run-in. Because they have Brighton, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Newcastle, Southampton, United.
What about Steve Mounier? I mean, he hasn't scored, but the last two matches, this week he put up 16 points. Last week he had 21 because he's been taking a ton of shots.
I own Steve Mounier for half the season. I cannot justify owning him because he will drive you insane.
Another club we just talked about was Newcastle. As we said, they've won three in a row. The interesting thing with them was Solomon Rondon only lasted 71 minutes, and he only attempted one shot in the match after his brace last week.
I mean, he's going to have those days. He played a very good role in knocking down the ball and making space for everyone else, but Burnley kept him pretty well in check, and it was an unfortunate own goal that really ended up making the difference.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of already touched on Burnley. I mean, Robbie Brady's back. Chris Wood started again. Goodmunson was out through injury. Is there any, I mean, what are you doing with your Burnley assets right now? And that's outside of Goodmunson Berg. Berg Goodmunson.
I'm concerned. I'm not necessarily selling Tarkowski yet, but I'm at least shopping him in the window and seeing if someone wants to give me anything useful, because I don't think this defense is going to turn it around.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess we'll stick with the former bottom club. Well, now bottom, still bottom club, but soon to be out of the relegation zone. Mitrovic scored. He ends his run without scoring. He puts in 30 points. He looked great. But the biggest thing for me in Fulham's 3-2 victory over Southampton was Ryan Sessegnon.
Yeah, he looked like a new guy. This is the Ryan Sessegnon of the Championship, not the guy that so far had been playing in the Premier League. And I'm very happy to see it.
Yeah, he grabbed his first two assists of the season. The ball he played for Andre Schürrle on that goal to set him up with the tap-in was excellent to the far post. And as you said, yeah, we've kind of been, if you drafted him, you've been disappointed. But do we think we're going to see more performances like this with Ranieri in charge?
I don't know.
Would you be looking to sell him this week since his value is probably at the highest it's been all season?
That probably would be a good idea, but it's going to be tough to sell him with Chelsea coming.
Yeah, it's fair. The other side of the match in Southampton, I think they're in trouble. But Stuart Armstrong scored two really nice goals, and he looked like the player I'm guessing Southampton thought they were getting when they bought him this summer. 22 points, two goals, three shots on target. He's only owned in 4% of leagues.
I like Stuart Armstrong a lot. I drafted him at the beginning of the season. I thought that he was going to end up being a better signing than Elyounoussi. Unfortunately, it took a lot longer for him to start getting minutes. I think he's a very much worthwhile pickup.
Would you say if you have a – how high of a waiver claim would you use on him?
Probably anything under 4.
Yeah, I would agree there. I mean, it depends what kind of league you're in. If you're in a 12-team league that's competitive, chances are you're going to have to spend one of those claims in order to grab him. If you're in a 10-team league, though, this is the kind of guy that you hope goes unnoticed so you don't have to use a waiver claim. Or if you're down in the order. I do like him, though, and with Southampton really needing anything to turn it around, there's going to be should be plenty of opportunities for him. I guess the next match we'll talk about, because it was probably the craziest own goal I've seen in the last two seasons, Arsenal beat Bournemouth 2-1, but what a hell of an own goal by Jefferson Lerma. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch the replay.
I was
going to
say, unfortunately, I can't say that I've seen that, but I'm about to pull it up.
Yeah, so it was one of the two assists that Kolasinac got credited for. Lerma pretty much is tracking back towards the top of his own 18, and he does a scissor kick to clear it, and catches it on the side of his foot and just blasts it into the near post.
Lord. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm seeing this. Wow.
Well, the craziest part about his afternoon was with the match at 2-1 in the closing stages, he took a shot from about 30 yards out, one hop, and blasted it off the bottom of the post. So he almost had he had the own goal of the season and potentially one of the goals of the season.
Well, didn't he also – he had the equalizer at half. Right? Didn't he have
No, he was involved in the buildup, but I think I'm pretty sure Josh King scored that.
Oh, wait, yeah. No, I'm getting this mixed up with a week ago when he scored a header.
Yeah, no, he did score last week. But yeah, I mean, the big thing here was Arsenal kind of got lucky, but Salih Kolasinac looked great.
Yeah, actually, I wrote about him 2 weeks ago now that you may not want to pick him up right this week, but next week you should. And he's looked like the beast he was before his original injury when Arsenal signed him.
He was the highest scoring defender of the week with 27.5 points.
I can assure you that he will have more than a few weeks like that.
Yeah, Josh King, as I said, he's back. He missed a couple matches. He scored. David Brooks had a disallowed goal. What do you think about Bournemouth rest of the season? Where do you think they're going to end up? They're going to end up
9th or 10th.
Yeah, I think it's about a fair assessment. I mean, at this point, they're probably better than Manchester United. And in case you were tuning in to hear our take on that match, we will leave it at Manchester United drew Crystal Palace 0-0. United suck, and Jose Mourinho needs to be fired immediately.
Basically, this is what Sean is going to say so that he does not rant on this match.
Yeah. So we'll go over to Leicester City 1-1 with Brighton. I was pumped on Vardy this week. I had a feeling he was going to score. Didn't expect it to be a penalty. But the bigger thing here is the James Maddison red card.
I thought it was Glenn Murray scoring on his 100th appearance for Brighton.
Well, that too, but in terms of a fantasy impact, I mean, Maddison had, what, minus 10 points?
And he deserved all of them because that flop was bad.
Yeah, I mean, would you be looking to, if you have James Maddison, would you be looking to add Armstrong?
I mean, I think rest of the season, Maddison will be fine. I'm not too concerned.
I mean, I'm thinking short term, I guess.
He's going to play next week. Remember, they have that weird postponed EFL Cup game. So he's serving suspension in that.
I forgot. I completely forgot about that. Okay, yeah, so if you're a Maddison owner, you just got real lucky. Yeah, I completely forgot about that.
Damn, I get your team and I'm already up on their news.
Yeah. Next match, Liverpool 3, Watford 0. Salah, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Firmino scored. He ends his 8-match round without a goal.
Bend it like Trent, am I right?
Yeah. Shaqiri starts another match. Henderson gets a red card.
Shaqiri looks to have passed Milner in the league.
Yeah, so are you trying to – what are you doing with Shaqiri if you own him right now?
If I own him right now, I'm playing him.
You're not thinking about trading him?
Probably not. Like, it's – especially not ahead of the festive period. If you're trading him, you don't really want to do that until January maybe?
Yeah, I'm just – I don't really know what to think of him at this point. I mean, look, he's playing in Liverpool, so there's going to be points. It's going to be tricky to see how that rotation gets figured out. And, I mean, Henderson's only going to miss one match with his suspension. but I guess we would think Milner would come right back in.
Well, also, Henderson's position is different than Shaqiri's, so.
Yeah. I mean, the nice part about if you own Milner, though, is Milner can kind of play wherever.
Yes, he can.
I guess we'll get to the good stuff now. Manchester City absolutely drop-kicked West Ham. However, Sergio Aguero pretty much went missing.
Well, that game was ridiculous because West Ham had chances and Mikel Antonio should have scored a goal.
Yeah.
But good Lord, City is so much better than everyone else.
Yeah, when I was rewatching the goals, they're like goals you score in FIFA when you're playing against someone who doesn't really know how to play. I mean, the ball Sané played to Sterling for the tap-in. I mean, the first one where David Silva just runs in and gets a touch. I'm guessing you're thinking they're going to win the league.
I'm thinking there's almost no way that they don't win the league.
Yeah, Sané had 41 points. He had 2 goals and assists. He was the highest scorer week 13.
Yep, and I still managed to lose with that.
Sterling stayed hot. He had a goal and 2 assists. The other thing here, we have City without Mendy. Fabian Delph was at left back. However, the bigger surprise for me in terms of personnel was Nicolas Otamendi partnering Laporte in the middle of defense.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things of the weekend for me. It's going to be, I don't know if Stones was just being rested, as Pep says he was, or if he just prefers Otamendi with no Mendy.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. Obviously, Laporte's the nailed-on defender. He's featured in every minute so far this season. And I guess with Stones and Otamendi, I mean, the clean sheets have been reliable enough where I guess if you own one of them, you'll probably want to own the other one. However, we did see Otamendi come in for 3 matches earlier in the season and then disappear.
And I unfortunately think that will probably happen again.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. And then with Fabian Delph, I mean, yeah, it seems like he's going to be the guy at left back. The issue is, I believe he's listed as a midfielder.
I believe so, which makes him useless in Fantrax.
Which is too bad. Although that is an interesting differential in OFPL with him at 5.3 million.
That it is, because City holds the ball for far too long to give up goals.
Yeah, they had 70% possession against West Ham, which isn't really a surprise for City this season, but that's just number just blows my mind. Was saved Chuck's team for last. Probably the biggest result of the weekend. Would you describe Spurs' victory over Chelsea as a dismantling?
Oh, yes. It's funny because in the past couple of years, I've seen quite a few dismantlings from Spurs, but good Lord, this is one of the ones where I've just felt like, wow, they underperformed.
Yeah, the Spurs' new formation is, I mean, from what I saw, it seemed like a 4-3-1-2. Is that what you got out of? I did see some places having it listed as a 4-1-2-1-2.
Honestly, I've given up on trying to say what a Spurs formation is.
The big thing, though, was Son and Kane playing up front with Ali in the hole.
You mean Son torching everyone on Chelsea? Like, his Son's goal where he just sends Jorginho for a hot dog was one of the best things I've seen this year.
Yeah, Son had 6 shots. He had 3 on target. I think he could have had another goal.
Oh, he could have.
He could have had a couple.
Kepa
in the deck.
stood tall against Sun.
Yeah, and then at first it seemed like Harry Kane scored an absolute thunderbolt on his shot, but then watching the replays and watching the highlights before he went back on, it basically was just David Luiz was in the way and he turned his back.
Kane's little trickler.
Yeah, he turned his back and Kepa didn't see the ball until it bounced like 8 yards from the goal.
Yep. Take them how they come. But unfortunately, Christian Eriksen's shot against Willy Caballero will live as one of the better goals scored against Chelsea from outside the box by a Spurs player.
Yeah, definitely. And in Eriksen, he had two assists. He created 7 chances in the match. So it's safe to say Eriksen's back.
He created more chances than all of Chelsea.
Yeah. What did Chelsea do from here? I mean,
Chelsea needs a plan B. The big thing for me is I didn't understand the Chelsea lineup at the start of the game, meaning why was Barkley set? And then as the game went on, I didn't understand why Sarri made no real effort at making changes.
Yeah, I mean, he waits until the 58th minute to make the double switch with Pedro and Barkley coming on. I think for me is Olivier Giroud needs to be starting.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was probably Morata's last start.
Yeah, I mean, for what Morata's been doing and I guess what he is now as a forward, it just makes more sense to give Giroud the start and then bring Morata in for the last 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how the match is going.
It makes sense to buy a striker in January.
And then the other thing too, one of the highlights that stood out for me was watching Eden Hazard get through the Spurs defense and then play. I mean, the ball was a little bit overweighted, but like N'Golo Kante just looks so confused when he needs to make runs into the box. I almost feel bad for him.
Yeah, I don't know what to do there because realistically, Kante should be playing next to Jorginho. But that just means your midfield two will go nowhere. Now, you can't realistically sit either Kante or Jorginho because Jorginho has such an important role in Chelsea. And sitting Kante, just like, you don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a Chelsea supporter, I would be calling for Eden Hazard to be playing as a false nine and have N'Golo Kante and Jorginho sitting in and then going out and buying a kick-ass attacking midfielder to play in front of those two.
I'd be calling for PSG to submit an offer that I can't refuse for N'Golo Kante.
But, I mean, Kante, it's just he's so –
I just don't think they can coexist.
I mean, I think there is if you have the right, you know, third piece to that midfield, and that's not a knock on Kovacic or Barkley. I just don't know if you're going to be able to get
– But no matter what, if you're playing a midfield three, it is going to be imbalanced if those two are in it with a Barkley or Ruben Loftus-Cheek or anything.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm also surprised that Loftus-Cheek was not involved.
I'm not surprised any time a Chelsea youth player doesn't get involved.
And then we also need to mention David Luiz had a howler of a match. I think it – look, I mean, the whole season – I kind of have been waiting for Chelsea to have a performance like this. I just didn't think that it would be Spurs doing it to them.
I mean, Andreas Christensen has needed to start from the beginning of the season. If this doesn't lead to him getting a start, I don't think anything will.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us on this episode of FPL 360. We usually say we'll be back and then we don't come back.
But we will actually be back this time. We promise.
Yeah. We'll be back later this week with a preview of game week 14, which, remember, everyone, starts on Friday with Cardiff versus Wolverhampton.
That should be riveting.